Hello. My name is Matt.
My name is Abigail.
And this is the Polyglot Progress Podcast. Episode 21.
Good job.
Welcome.
Today is December 30th.
Yeah. You will probably be seeing this in the new year.
You'll be seeing this on New Year's. Yeah. We timed it perfectly. You guys will see this New Year's Day.
Dude.
Good for us. We did something right for once. We are going to be talking about our sort of New Year's goals and resolutions. And also
plans for 2018.
Yeah, and also just talking about how our goals, resolutions, things like that went last year. Mm-hmm. If you want to watch our podcast where we talked about our plans for languages for 2017, it's episode 9 of the podcast, mm-hmm. Which is a little weird to think about. We've only made
nearly 10 this year.
Yeah, we haven't made that many podcasts this year.
It's also kind of cool.
We've made 12 podcasts this year.
We'll try to make more.
We could probably do a little bit better.
We could do better.
Last year we tried to do something that a lot of polyglots do that we'd never done before, which is sort of blocking out month by month what language you're going to be studying. I did this more so than Matt. Languages we were going to learn together, and then you just had general plans that really weren't plans.
Yeah, I had what I want to do. Don't care when.
And then I had my own sort of languages, so we were going to learn 3 languages together in 4-month chunks, and then we each had our own sort of plans. So we're going to talk about how that went, and then this year, possibly giving away how that went, we are not doing that plan. No. So we're going to talk instead. I mean, I've got sort of goals and resolutions. I don't know what your plans are like at the moment, but we're going to talk about that. So.
Okay.
If you're interested, stay tuned. We're not going anywhere. We're still here. Okay, so I guess let's start with last year.
Would you like to begin with... Let's start with our languages together that failed.
Yeah, so we're going to go over this sort of very briefly. So like I said, if you want to like actually know why we were choosing to do things and what our plans exactly were, I'd recommend watching the other podcast. We watched that before we filmed this.
Yeah,
so
we knew what we said. It's like a half an hour long, so it's not
Yeah, it's also really short. So if you want to just pause right here and then come back. That's fine, but we'll kind of try to give you an overview. So, I've decided I'm never doing this planning type ever again.
What do you actually have written down?
I tried to plan each month, and then I put a sub-point that is LMAO, never again.
Very nice.
So this is just not the way for me to plan out things. I think something that I've definitely learned this year is that my life is a little too, not set in stone. Like, things change too often for me to have, a plan where I'm, in January I'm learning this language, and then in February I'm learning this language, just because I can't view what my whole year is gonna be like. I think also, language goals and resolutions, it's important to know that, plans change. So my goals this year I've made are quite vague, because I know that, I might want to learn a language right now, but that might not be what I think is the most important thing to be doing at the time. Mm-hmm. So even my plans changed a lot this past year, because then once we had our Europe trip plans set more in stone, it ended up being that I spent more time working on my French and German for the trip than I did with other languages I had planned. But also just even in terms of having a routine for myself and things, my life changes too much. Part of it's because I'm in college, I've got a new schedule every semester, I'm doing totally different things. I can't know when I'll have time to learn languages.
Yeah.
And then just also, my interests change, so... Which is also just partly my life changing. Then once I know I'm doing certain things, I'm I think I should be learning this language instead, so... Mm-hmm. At this point, I'm coming up with things that are a little less set in stone and sort of viewing only smaller chunks of the year at a time, because...
Yeah.
I know that I can't plan out a full year. It makes it more manageable. It
makes it more realistic, you know?
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I know a lot of polyglots plan out, the next 5 years, and then so it's, then they're, okay, so I know I'm learning these 5 languages over the next 5 years, and, here's what I'm doing month to month, and I can't do that. I'm also just not a person that likes having, I don't like having a set schedule. That's part of why I don't want, a real job. I like being a filmmaker and, a language person who probably won't have a single job ever, because it's, be working on one film set, then another one, because I just don't do well, having the same thing happening in my life constantly, so... Mm. I actually... Most people are, afraid of change or whatever. I'm, the opposite. If there's no change, I, actually,
Yeah.
Can't handle it. As a kid, I would rearrange my bedroom, once a month, because I just couldn't handle having the same thing all the time. So, I'm not gonna plan out my whole year, just because I don't like being held down to things, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And that totally makes sense. And I think I'm a little bit of the same way, at least with routine, in respect to routine, which the amount of times I think we've talked about trying to set up a language routine and, like, doing things every day, and it's like, we just have to, like, kind of accept that sometimes life doesn't, it's not conducive to a good routine of scholarly academic studying, which stinks, but then something we mentioned in the last, in last year's podcast was try to incorporate things that are a bit more fun in language learning, and I think those at least are a lot less intimidating to incorporate on a daily level than studying, because studying mm-hmm. can sometimes, as much fun as we find it, it is much more daunting than, like, sitting and watching a TV show
yeah.
or listening to a podcast, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I guess first let's talk about, we had, like we said, like, our things to learn together and our separate things.
Yes.
So I guess first let's talk about our together. So like we said, we were planning three languages divided into 4-month chunks.
Yep, first was Arabic.
Yeah, so from January through April, we were going to be doing Arabic.
Levantine Arabic of Syria.
Yeah, so we did start this because it was the beginning of the year, we were going with this plan, so we did learn some Arabic, but I think we stopped after January. I think we stopped after
the
first
Yeah, it did not last very long. We were using a, what was it called? It was a textbook that we found online.
Yeah, but like the real problem was that I went back to school at the end of January, and as soon as I went back to school, I did not have time to be learning Arabic.
It made it very difficult.
So the thing is, like, that one kind of failed just due to our lives more so. The thing was, is also, had it been, like, a language that would have been a little bit easier for us based on our native language and prior knowledge, like, if we were learning, like, Spanish or something,
mm-hmm.
we possibly could have kept up with it, but the thing is, like, I had so much happening that mm-hmm. learning Arabic, where even just, like, getting used to the script was difficult, and, like,
mm-hmm.
the grammar is so different, and the words are so different, and, like, all these things, like, it was a bit too much for us.
It was a big change very quickly.
Yeah, so it just wasn't the right time to learn mm-hmm. it. I'd like to return. That one wasn't one that failed because the language, like,
totally.
For me. Like,
it
I definitely like to go back
yeah.
and study Arabic. I just, and it's
we
also still been in the, like, forefront of my language learning. Mm-hmm. I just haven't, it's, again, been there hasn't been a time. And also now that I've studied a little bit and know how much time I'm going to need to put into it.
Yeah.
Because even, mm-hmm. like, I found, I had no trouble learning the Cyrillic alphabet, but
mm-hmm.
I was having a bit of trouble learning the Arabic.
It works in a different way than Cyrillic and Latin
yeah.
work, you know?
So I was just having difficulty with even just learning how to read and write. So, like, it is going to require a lot more of my time to be invested into it, and
mm-hmm.
I haven't had the time to invest into it yet.
Yep.
I think that's going to be a language where if there is a summer where I don't have so much happening, like this past summer I had a lot happening, and I know that this upcoming summer I've already got a lot happening.
Oh my god, yeah.
Like, possibly more than last summer, but I'm gonna, like, the thing is that now that I know from last summer, like, I'm gonna need to account for that, and that's gonna mean I can't study as much over the summer as I would like to.
The next language.
But next time I have, like, an open period of time,
oh, yeah.
Arabic might be what happens
totally.
There. Then May to August and September through December, neither of them even
occurred
were started.
Mm-hmm.
So for May to August, we were going to do Icelandic.
And that was because of the Polyglot Conference, which we didn't wind up going to.
Yeah, we knew at that point that we were going to Europe, and we were spending money on going to Europe, so mm-hmm. we weren't going to have money to spend on going to the Polyglot Conference.
Yeah.
So we didn't do it. I think also we were like, we kind of considered it, but we were like, at this point was basically when we, like, looked back. Like, we didn't, like, forget about these plans, but this
yeah.
was basically the point where we looked and we were like, do
is
we
this
really
have what we want?
Time for this right now? Like, is this really what we want? Because, like, also we were both focusing again on our French and German for the
yeah.
trip.
Yeah.
So it was like, do we want to be focusing on Icelandic right now? And we both mm-hmm. basically decided no. And then, but we were like, let's come back to it in September through December. Maybe we will do Brazilian Portuguese like we had planned.
Oh my god,
and
I don't think we even acknowledged this plan then, September, December, because that's when I was moving into college. Right?
Yeah, then basically, by this point, we like,
I think we forgot about this plan.
We knew that this wasn't going to happen.
yeah.
So like, we'd completely given up on the system. I think we basically decided that over the summer too. We were like, this plan really isn't
what
we
want.
Yeah. like, we both had changed even like, within our own goals, what languages we wanted to be
totally.
Studying and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is part of why this year, like, I'm not setting things that far in advance, because the thing is like, by even just, like, 6 months in the year, like,
mm-hmm.
things have changed so much, like, what you want and stuff. So, like, Which is also why I don't do resolutions. Like, I just do goals for myself. So then it's,
I
like...
I feel like my goals are always much more general for myself, so I can't... You can't, like... You have to reach for it, and you don't necessarily attain it, you know?
See, I like to give myself more specific goals, like the, like, SMART goals or whatever they are.
The what? SMART?
SMART.
SMART.
The things where it's, like, you have to have, like, a time period. You have to... Yeah. So, like, you have to, like, define things so that way they're actually achievable, and it's not, like, the New Year's resolutions that are, like, I'd like to exercise. Because then you, like...
Yeah.
But, like, saying, like... I would like to lose 5 pounds by exercising once a week is, like, a SMART goal or something.
Okay, I understand that.
Or, like, I want to lose 5 pounds by, like, March because I will be, like, running a mile every day or something. Like, something that you can actually, like,
that makes sense.
Measure, basically. I think that's what the M in SMART stands for. I don't remember what all of
it
is.
Yeah.
But they have to, like, have certain things, like, defined so that way you can actually achieve the goals.
Okay.
And so, like, I like that, but the thing is, like, I do, instead of, like, a resolution, like, I give myself, I talked about this in the last podcast, but I've got, like, over 10 goals, like, every year.
Yeah.
And it's, like...
Even, like, per semester, you do goals.
Yeah, I'm, like, I like, try to do, like, year goals, and then I, like, break it down into, like, month, like, I guess semester would be the next smallest thing. I do, like, semester or, like, break goals, and then, like, month goals, week goals, daily goals.
Yeah.
And that's how I, like, get things done. But it, like, really works, because then it also, like, going, like, from the big general and then down.
To a very specific.
Like, it allows me to then be, like, I want to learn, like, this language to a certain level by the end of the year. And then I, like, because that's the other thing, is, like, so many people are, like, I want to learn a new language, and... 2018, but, like, for me, it's more so, like, I want to get to this level in this language, or I want to do this with this language.
Yeah.
Totally. No, yeah, but, yeah, I found that even with my own personal goals, I can't really put things that far in advance. So we gave up on that. We did talk about our Europe trip. We did end up going to Europe, but our plans totally changed from what we were saying in the last podcast.
Yeah, we were listing all these things we had in mind, and, like, we did not do any of that.
I mean, because we also, we found out it was going to be cheaper overall, or, like, just less effort and things just to fly straight into Paris, so we did not go to England at all.
Yeah.
That, like, we were talking about in the podcast, we're going to go to England and then go through, like, the Eurotunnel. Didn't happen.
Didn't happen at all.
Just because, like, I think we would have saved a little bit of money, but then it would have been, like, we would have needed... It would have been a whole day out of our, like, time in Europe. Would have been traveling, and so we just ended up paying a little bit extra to just fly straight into France. So that didn't happen.
Worth it.
Yeah, it was, like, a significantly better idea.
Yeah.
We didn't end up staying in any...
Any of the country.
Well, we didn't stay...
Hostel.
No, with the Esperanto things.
Pasporto Servo.
We didn't end up doing any of that just because... There weren't any in the regions we ended up going to, basically.
No, which stinks.
We were going to go to other places in France and Germany that we didn't end up going
just
to, just because...
And host family of mine.
Because part of it is we had, like, a bunch of towns in France we wanted to go to. We only did Paris because...
And Versailles.
Paris. Which is, like, right outside of Paris, and you just need to take the train. But the problem was, is, like, since we were going France and then northern Germany, like, the countries in southern Germany and the countries... Or in
the
southern
countries.
France and then, like, western... France were, like, just not in our direction at all, so it was, like,
it was
again,
very,
it
like,
was one of those things that just didn't work with our plans.
Yeah. It was
so,
very, like, where are we going? What can we do on the way?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we just ended up doing Paris, which was fine. I really loved Paris, but...
We did get to go to Lüneburg and Buxtehude and cities like that, like, in the...
That was already in our plan, though, for Germany.
It was.
And we stayed with a host family in Germany that Matt already knew, and then we stayed with Airbnb again. So we only did Airbnb. There was actually no youth hostels in our plans either, just because... Somehow it ended up being more expensive to stay in a youth hostel, much like we were going to take a train from France to Germany, and flying was cheaper somehow.
Oh, yeah, we've...
So there was a bunch of things
short,
that, like, we thought
like,
were going to be,
duration.
Like, the cheaper things to do, and, like,
yeah, travel
it
in
wasn't.
Europe is so different than it is in the U.S.
Yeah, so, I mean...
I feel like trains, even, like, from my house to your house, are, so, like, $80.
Yeah.
Which is, like, unbelievable, but then...
Yeah,
there's no
I
other
don't
way
know.
To get there,
so,
which is ridiculous, other than the bus, which is, like, 20.
Yeah, so our Europe plans did change. We didn't speak any Esperanto
because,
we didn't have a reason to, like, who knows,
it
maybe someone
up.
We walked by on the street spoke Esperanto, but, like, we weren't like, excuse me, do you speak Esperanto? You, random sir. but, I mean, it was a good time, and we did go. We did practice our languages.
Yeah, it was really great.
But, I mean, our...
I want to go back.
Our plans did change, but I think that's to be expected, like... at the time that was, like...
I think if we've learned anything, plans change.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, but especially with travel. Like, the thing is we were so early on into, like, our planning stages that, like, we hadn't bought plane tickets yet, and I think that's really what changed a lot of it, was once we knew how much, like, traveling was going to cost us to certain locations, then it sort of, like, set in stone a whole bunch of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess personal things, I can wrap mine up pretty quickly.
Okay.
I still haven't finished the German tree.
Oh, really?
On Duolingo. This has been a thing. Well, this is, like, just going to become an ongoing meme of, has Abigail finished the German tree? No. Because, literally, I've been, like...
In your defense, they've added stuff.
Yeah. No, I was so close to finishing. I was, like, 10 away or something, and then they added a ton of courses, and I was, like... And now, I think at the moment, I'm, like, 30 away. I, like, every so often, but the thing is, I forget that I, like, need to finish it. And every so often, I'm, like, the German tree on Duolingo. And I go on, and I do, like, 2 or so things, and I'm, like, I'm gonna, if I just do 2 a day, I'll be done in a week or whatever. And then I don't, so.
Very nice.
I wanted to finish it by the end of the year. Maybe I can finish it if I just sit here for, like, a few hours and go through it. Maybe I can finish in the next, like, 2 days.
You totally could.
We'll see what happens there. That might be another goal for this next year, like, finish the German tree.
Oh, man.
Also, I had American Sign Language, which I totally forgot was in my New Year's plans.
Yeah, that was a goal of yours, and then it
went away. And also Japanese. I didn't study ASL. Although, was that this year? I dabbled in it for, like, a day.
A day. Oh, my God.
There was some point recently where I did, like, a day's worth of ASL. Mm-hmm. Not even sure if that was this year, though. I think that was last year. So, yeah, I did not study ASL at all. My school does have, like, an ASL club that I could have gone to, but I couldn't have gone to it because it was during my classes. So that's the real reason I did not do any ASL, because I just, like, they change it every semester at the time, too, and somehow it always gets changed to be a time when I have class.
I know.
Even if, like, the time from the previous semester would have worked with my new schedule, like, then they move it, and I'm like, okay. Japanese,
we did some of that together, right?
Yeah, and I did some of it alone, too, in, like, the early summer, late spring, but, nah, didn't really happen. I had other plans at that point. I was focusing on other things, so, I'm fine with that, I guess. I wish I'd gotten to study Japanese, but also I know, looking back, that I could not have fit in what I wanted to with everything else that ended up becoming a priority.
Yeah.
And then lastly, I wanted to, like, incorporate language learning into my life every day. I felt like I didn't really accomplish this, but looking back, because even I say in the podcast, like, by that point, which was, like, a little over 2 weeks into January, I studied every day, and that actually continued, and looking back, there were actually many months, like, it was probably, like, 6 months out of the whole year, that I actually studied every single day, almost, maybe missing, like, one day, and then other than that, I'd do, like, at least a third of the month, even if it was spaced out a bit, I'd spend studying. So, looking back, I actually did, like, a really good job of...
And your language tracker studying really more often.
Yeah, I feel like that's what allows me to know that I did it. I haven't been keeping up with that, so I really should go back to that. Should make some new ones for the new year.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm glad that that worked out more than I thought. I think I still have a long way to go with that, but looking back, I think I made a lot of progress with, how much I've studied every day, so hopefully this year I'll be able to take that, like, a step further and get it to where I, like, actually want it to be.
Nice. As for my goals, the ones that I had by myself were Norwegian, which is something I was focusing on predominantly at the beginning of the year, and back then I was doing Pimsleur and colloquial Norwegian, and I even said in the last podcast that I wanted to do more diaries, and at that point I only had one, and since then I've done 2 more, so I guess that's good, even though I haven't had a lot of studying in between those diaries. I seem, even to me, like that I've improved more, at least my accent and pronunciation. So with Esperanto, on the other hand, I feel like I've totally let that kind of slide, and I think it's just because I don't have much of a necessity or even a drive like I used to want to learn it, which is a shame. But it's just a language I don't see myself putting a lot of effort into, even in the years going forward. And in fact, on my goals for this year, like, I'm not really even including it, which I feel bad about. But I kind of just want to learn newer things, you know?
You feel bad about it, but I also didn't include it in my New Year's list.
Oh, okay, so there we go.
So we're gonna, we can talk about that later. Okay. It's not on mine either, but you can't feel too bad because I also didn't
That's good.
Include it.
We mentioned and in the last podcast, and I was getting a lot of flack for this last year, my disdain for romance languages has slowly faded across 2017.
I was like, Matt, you gotta talk about your disdain, because last time we were talking about how Matt, like, hated romance languages, but you can't hate them anymore based on what you're doing at the moment.
I can't, because I took a French class, I have dabbled in Spanish over 2017, now I'm engaged in learning Spanish and Italian at the same time, so I really cannot say I hate them, I'm enjoying them both, so I think that's totally gone. I wanted to ladder my languages a lot in 2017, and this is something I think I can say safely that I kind of failed at. I had a German resource at one point for, I don't remember what it was for, but didn't use it at all. I wanted to ladder German to Plattdeutsch, and that didn't happen, so maybe that's something that'll happen in the future. I just want to find more language resources from other languages to other languages, so that way I can kind of keep strengthen one language while learning another, you know? And I find that most podcasts, at least, or audio courses are always English to another language, or at least I just have difficulty finding them. And so, if you know of any from, like, French to another language or German to another language, that would be nice. I feel my French has kind of fallen into disuse. Without, if I didn't have coffee hour at school, which
I force Matt to go to every week.
Because we basically run it. You run it more than I do.
You want to skip every week, and then I'm like, come to coffee hour.
But then I come and have a good time. What was I going to say? Coffee hour helps me keep my French in use when we're not speaking German there.
Yeah, that is a thing.
Or when it's not just linguistic coffee hour. Yeah, I feel like that's pretty much it. I was learning Esperanto at the time, and that really fell out of use. My German, I was learning in high school, like in a high school class, though I was doing most of it outside of the class because the class was useless. And then, listen, it's shameless. It was so bad. And that had to become ingrained in my own life more so. And so, kind of, I've had such a hard time incorporating it. And you've witnessed me struggling with, like, I always have across this podcast, have a balance between all the things in my life and struggling with all of them, like, to find a healthy balance. And I feel when it comes to language and getting language in my life, German becomes the automatic default because I feel safest with it. But I also feel like my knowledge in it is incomplete, so it's not entirely, like, I default to this because I feel comfortable with it, which I do, but I also feel like my knowledge of grammar has totally stagnated. And I feel like if you wanted me to explain to you, like, all of the accusative endings and dative endings and what changes in cases, like, I couldn't do that. Like, I was teaching German on italki for a while, and it was going really well, but then everything left me because I just wasn't using it. And so I really feel like even if I get myself, like I was mentioning in last year's podcast, like a German grammar book in German, that might help me because it'll just keep all that information fresh, you know?
Mm. All right, so I guess, do we want to move on to 2018 goals?
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the other languages you've dabbled in this year first?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. This year really became just, like, a dabbling time for me, which is a lot of fun because I've mentioned a lot that I just like to dabble in languages, and I think it's kind of part of just the linguistic interest side of me. But it also just allows me to try something out and kind of get a feel for it before committing to it, though I like to say that I'm committing to things too quickly, such as when I did Finnish for, like, a week, or Hungarian for, like, a few days and was like, I'm learning Hungarian now. And then, like, a few months later, I picked up Finnish one night and was like, and that stayed for, like, a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
I ordered a book in Finnish and was doing Finnish quite diligently for a little bit. And then I was doing Latin as well. I just got into all these languages and I was really enjoying it. Dabbled in some Dutch with Tom's help that was, like, the middle of the year, I would say, or, like, before school started, you know? Yeah, that's really it. And just, I had a lot of fun with that. It's a lot of fun. It's nice to kind of just leave your comfort zone. And I mentioned this in my goals for 2018. I kind of want to leave the Indo-European family a little bit more. And so that was, like, kind of my starting to do it, with Finnish and Hungarian because they're not Indo-European, and they're in fact very different, which is nice. I know you were saying like they're still European.
Well, yeah, because I know in the video you'd said that you wanted to leave Indo-European and like leave European in general. Like you wanted to go for Asian and African languages.
I still want to, you know. And I mean, right now I'm really interested in, or at least something I'm really interested in spending some time on is like Mandarin Chinese. Like I really would like to read the Tao Te Ching in Chinese, which I think would be really cool, and like learn lots of like ancient knowledge through a very ancient language. And I'll talk about more of this later, but yeah, like I don't even know if that's a goal of mine necessarily, but just that's an interest of mine that could become a reality, you know.
Also, I think it's interesting that you did so much dabbling, just because you didn't have a plan really last year in the video. You like were just like, I'd like to try some things, and that's what happened. So I wonder if you set yourself like more set goals, if you would actually stick to set
things. I probably won't, and that's why I don't really have set goals coming up.
There you go.
After this commercial break. What? No.
All right, so, yeah, so my goals are in conjunction with, like, my regular goals and resolutions, so I also don't have a ton here. I have a lot, considering this is, like, in conjunction with, like, all the other things that I want to do this year in my own personal life that I haven't come up with yet. I need to sit down and make those resolutions over the next 2 days, but... True. Yeah, I made these a lot more vague, but also, like, they're still set. Like I said, I want to make things that are actually achievable, because otherwise I feel like I'd end up kind of, like, you just kind of dabbling in things, and while I like to dabble from time to time, I also, like, I don't know, I'd like to spend my time making progress in things as well, and I feel like if I solely dabble, I will have a basic knowledge in a lot of languages, but I won't, like, be able to communicate in them necessarily. And even if I don't necessarily want all my languages to be at, like, a native language level at the time, like, I mean, a lot of people know that I'm not going for that. Like, I'll learn a language, like, a B1, and then I'll switch, and then I'll come back to that one later and move it to an advanced level. But, I mean, I'd prefer to have at least some knowledge in a language before I, like, leave it. So that way I can feel like it was kind of, like, worth my time to be spending on it as well.
Did you mention Bulgarian in your, like...
I don't think it was in my resolutions last year somehow.
Oh, it wasn't.
But I did, I mean, I studied it,
but I... That was the year before. That's because that was 2016.
Yeah. So these are a little bit vague. They're, like, set, so, like, they are measurable, which is, like, what I feel is, like, important for setting goals for myself, so that way I can know if I've, like, accomplished them or whatever. But they're also pretty vague. Like, I haven't given myself things like finish this textbook, because I know that... that would just be too much all at once, and like I said, like, things change, so this is more so, like, get these languages to a certain level, and I have sort of done a monthly plan, even though I said I was never gonna do that again, but it's, like, a very different monthly plan, where I'm taking it one at a time, and, but I'm breaking the months down into three set categories of languages, so you've got the languages I'm focusing on, so, like, the focus language, which is, like, what I'm, like, studying. Then I've got the languages I want to improve, so they're things that I've previously studied and I just want to get to a higher level, or, have a better grasp of the grammar, or learn more advanced words, or something like that.
Okay.
And then there's the languages I'm maintaining, which is basically anything else I've ever studied. I just want to be, like, using it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I actually made, like, my January plan, and that's all I've done. Mm-hmm. So...
That's good.
I'm gonna be... Then at the end of January, I'm gonna, like, review... what, like, where I'm at then, and then put those three types of languages in again. So, like, for January, my focus is Spanish and Italian. Then German and Bulgarian are what I'm improving, and French is what I'm maintaining.
Okay.
And, I mean...
I like that.
So, you can kind of see Esperanto's not on that list. Like I said, I'm kind of not doing anything with Esperanto, and I'll get into that. So, yeah, I'm planning each language, each, like, month at a time based on where my life is at that moment. So that way it's not set where, like, I have to be studying certain languages in certain months, because I know that I'll have to change it anyway, basically, based on my life. So, I sort of know where certain things are going. Like, I put in a tentative plan for March and April for my focus language, just because I know that there's something that I want to learn before summer, but...
Yeah.
I haven't...
Did you mention anything about that anyway?
Yeah, on Twitter.
Okay.
We'll get into that later.
Cool.
So, yeah, so my goals, I guess, first off with Esperanto, the thing is, like, I just also, much like you, I don't feel like I have the drive to learn it right now or really need to learn it. I really love that I did learn Esperanto.
Me too. No, I'm very grateful for having learned it. It taught me a lot.
And I think it helped with me learning other future languages. And the thing is if I go to another polyglot event, like a polyglot conference...
I'll totally work on it.
I will refresh my Esperanto before I go to be able to speak it. But I don't feel really the need to use it in my daily life. Like, I don't have the interest to, like, watch... There really aren't really TV shows and movies in Esperanto, and I don't really feel the need to read books in Esperanto the way I have an interest in reading books in, like, German and French and other modern languages. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't just have much of an interest in, like, communicating in Esperanto the way I do in other languages. So it's one of those things that, like, I really like Esperanto, but at the same time I'm not really planning to maintain it as much. I find that I can, like, remind myself of things very easily. Like, I can start speaking again.
During a conversation with each other, like, the other week when we were just, like, demonstrating Esperanto for somebody, like, I found words coming back to me as we were speaking.
Yeah, I find it's something I don't really forget that easily, so, like, the thing is I don't feel the need, like, I need to maintain it in order to still have it. I can just kind of, like, refresh it before I need it.
Yeah.
And I just don't really feel like I want to use it that much in my daily life, other than, like, the specific times when I find it useful. So... like, maybe that's kind of sounds sad, but at the same time, like, I just have languages I'm far more interested in having in my life.
You can't, like, stay with the past forever, you know?
So, Esperanto, like, isn't even on here as, like, a maintaining thing. I kind of want to do some videos about Esperanto on here, though. Like, even, like, teaching some basic Esperanto just to sort of add to the resources that are out there.
Yeah.
Make some videos in Esperanto. So, I mean, there's a chance I'll be using a little bit of it on the channel, and that might be, like, my maintaining of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel like that needs to be in my daily life of, like, read a book in Esperanto every day or something. So, I mean, it's not really in my plans too much, but...
Cool.
Other than that, I guess, first, I've got 8 languages listed here, counting Esperanto. Counting Esperanto, though.
Jeez.
Which just has, like, a little slash through it. But I've got 8 languages that, like, by the end of the year, I'm hoping are things that, like, I can say I speak other than English, I suppose. So, basically, I don't know how we want to break this up, because I don't want to talk for a block of time and have you talk. So I guess we can kind of jump back and forth between our goals.
We'll do language by language?
Yeah, sure. I guess we can go, like, goal by goal, because I've got just, like, general goals and resolutions.
Yeah, me too.
But, yeah, so mine involves 8 languages other than English, 7 other than Esperanto and English. And then I've got some just general resolution goal things. So I guess my first one is just with French. I just want to use it and improve in my, like, colloquial knowledge of it.
Does this mean videos on the channel in French?
It probably does. Yeah, I don't really have... With French, I feel like it's hard because I'm, like, in the C range, I feel, so there's no, like, way for me to be, like, get to this, like, level in the language because it's, like, I'm there.
Course, I'm sure
but
there's like, a plateau you're facing.
There's still, like, a lot for me to learn, and I feel like it does come in colloquial situations. I feel like reading and doing things that are more academic, I do fine in. It's more so I feel like I don't know that much slang or, like,
You translated a short story this year, though. Which is cool.
I translated a lot of stuff this year.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm saying, like, you can mention that, like, I feel like your knowledge has increased a lot through that.
No, yeah, I feel like
my competency in French.
Yeah, so I'd like to also just practice my translating more and get better at that, but I think my main thing I need to improve on in French is more, like, colloquial situations and slang and that sort of thing. Just get better at using it in, I guess, more, like, real-life situations as opposed to just, like, solely academic things, because I think probably the way I speak French is also very academic at this point. It's,
Kind of the really only way you use it right now.
Yeah, it's, like, how I've learned it. It's how I use it. Like, I've been to France once, and it was for a week, and so, like, it's one of those things where, like, I don't have the experience of, like, having lived there for a long time and, like, speaking the way people speak to each other on the streets to each other because all my speaking practice has been, like, in a classroom and that sort of thing. So I'd like to just make it more so, like, the way a normal person would speak, I guess. So that's my French goal, I guess.
Very nice. My goal for German, as you can see, is not listed here because it's in my head. And really, this is only because I, again, kind of have more general goals with all of my languages. And I think that's okay because it works for me. And this goal really being with German is I just want to use it. I want to use it. I want to immerse myself in it. And not immerse myself in it, but I want to allow myself to use it more. And really, whether this is... I have a goal in general for myself, which is language is about communication. Communicate, because I feel like a lot of the time I'm a very passive language person, in that I just, like, well, listen to things, and, like, I'll read a thing, and, like, you don't really read it, like, you skim it. And, like, even with things like Link, I feel like a lot of it's just, you know, relying on translation, and I'd rather just my knowledge be in the language and, like, coming from my knowledge of it, not relying it on my mother tongue, you know? And so, whether I'm using German to ladder languages, like I failed to do last year, or whether I'm using it to communicate with my friends over in Germany, or my friends learning languages, even making more videos on here, I want to, because I mentioned, like, my knowledge of grammar has decreased since I have been out of academic German study. And so I think that's okay in a sense, because a lot of grammar knowledge is based on intuition of, like, what feels right. But German is so tricky, I feel like, that I can't just let that be the case. You know, I mean, I've been studying it for, what, like, 7 or 8 years at this point, and I should feel very comfortable with basic things, and I do. But, like, we had a friend the other week who asked me to help him study, and I wasn't able to help him a lot without, like, looking things up, you know? And then it just became he wanted to just, like, conversate, and that was how he got his practice in, which was good.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, no, so yeah, I feel
Yeah, no, I've also had to teach you gender, too, for German, like, how to know what's what gender, because a lot
of it's
you've just,
had a certain,
like, what you...
You've had some tips that helped me.
Yeah, because, mm-hmm. like, I, like, since I studied more recently, I did learn, like, oh, plants are, like, this gender, like,
always,
the ways to... sort of tell it apart, like, either based on endings or based on, like, type of word it is.
Which are just things I didn't learn.
Which are, like, you just kind of go based off of intuition, which, like, helps, but then sometimes it's not
correct.
It
could be totally wrong,
you know? Yeah.
You have a, like, 33% chance every time that it's wrong. And then, no, so German is something I want to use, and the thing is, I use it a lot with my friend, and I talk to him and his girlfriend a lot in German, which is really helpful because I get to have, like, actual conversations, which is weird. But I say it's weird because a lot of the courses that you learn teach you very simulated conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that having genuine conversation is something that is so rare in language learning, I feel. And that's why things like italki are very important. But as we've mentioned before, like, I get shy with italki. But, like, I think something like doing German italki or, like, French italki is something I should really consider. Because, remember when I had that German tutor, Thomas, who was, I think, Vietnamese? And, like,
I just
had the best conversations with him. And, like, I came out of them feeling so great and, like, and just, like, reinvigorated with, like, a strength of German, you know? Which is, like, I think if I was able to get to a level of that with French or other languages or even just, like, you know? And if that means I do it, like, once a month, at least I'm doing it. And then I have that kind of boost for myself. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I feel like I make of that a shot. Yeah, because in terms of my German, it's really just, I want to make it more of a tool I have to use, you know? And I tried to read Die Verwandlung auf Deutsch, and it was really bad, because I felt so incompetent. And that was really, like, a shameful thing for me, and I didn't want to admit that, like, I had trouble reading this book. I know it's a difficult book in general, but I thought I was at a level where, like, oh, it's a short book, I should be able to read it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I just had difficulty, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't able to go through, like, a page without translating half of it. And that just sucked for me. And, like, I mention it because our whole thing here is, like, progress is not entirely linear, and, like, things happen and you lose ability over time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as much as it, like, makes me feel, like, gross, I want to mention it because I feel like that shows that I have more to learn, even though I've been learning German for, like, 8 years. And I think it just shows that learning never really stops. And just because you feel really confident doesn't mean one day you're still going to be that confident, like, you know? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I guess going off of that, we can go to my German goal.
Okay, sure.
So I am currently at, like, a B1, B2 kind of level. I find it hard to know exactly which thing. So, like, you'll see that I often
say,
like, I'm a B, or,
you'll
like,
see.
I'm an A or something, because, like, the thing is...
I don't use the scale at all.
I just, like, feel like I can't really... Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between, like, a B1 and a B2. Like, I feel like I'm often just, like...
I'm a B.
I'm
low
in
B,
that level,
like,
of thing.
Say.
Like, you know? Yeah. So it's, like, hard to know sort of where exactly the cusp of that is. So, like, I'm in the B1, B2 range, I guess. I'd say I'm, like, more of a B2 than a B1 in general. Recently, I'm probably more of a B1 just because I haven't been speaking much, so it's going to take me a little while to, like, think of things before I say them. Mm-hmm. But in terms of, like, things that I know deep down in my head, probably more of a B2. But I'd like to get it to a C1 just because I feel like I would like to, I'm just kind of tired of being an intermediate level in German, if I'm completely honest. So, like, I'd just like to become an advanced German speaker just because I feel like it's such an annoying level to be at. Like, I actually hate being an intermediate level in a language.
That's a universal thing.
Yeah, just because it's like, well, no, it's not even the plateau that bugs me. Okay. It's the fact that, like, I'm not a beginner, so it's not like, wow, I've got so much to learn.
Yeah.
It's, I know so much, but so much I don't know. So, like, I'll be having a conversation, like, and it's like, it can either, I can either feel really good about it, and I can feel like I understand totally everything, or I can understand nothing.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's one of those things where it's like, when you're a beginner, you, like, feel like, oh, someday I'll be able to understand this. Like, there's so much for me to learn. Like, you're really excited and, like, that sort of thing, and you can feel yourself learning so much, and then intermediate with the plateau, you don't feel like you're learning as much,
mm-hmm.
but you also, there's so much that you don't understand,
mm-hmm.
and so it's just kind of this thing where at this point, I just don't want to be an intermediate German speaker anymore, so I want to just get that to a C1 level.
Mm-hmm.
So, hoping to do that. At this point, I've been having difficulty with, like, finding resources to do so. A lot of people know that I've been using the Enjoy German book and haven't been liking it.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what other, like, more advanced books there are, because that's also, like, supposed to take you to, like, the C1 level, and then there's no really, like, advanced resources I found. Then they're kind of like, okay, you're off on your own, figure it out. I'd love, like, a textbook to hold me accountable, honestly, just because I feel like it's so easy once I get to that level to be like, I just have to watch TV and, like, speak to people and just further my knowledge, and then it's, like, it's so easy to not do that, I guess. Whereas if I have a textbook and I'm like, look, you've done nothing in this, I can be like, okay, time to go study for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I mean, I think so much of language learning has to be outside of textbooks.
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree, but I feel like when I'm doing it in conjunction with a textbook, it's easier for me to be like,
you see visual progress happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, I want to do that. We'll see how I do it, I guess. Because I don't want to just do it through, like, watching TV and speaking to people.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what I do there. But that's my German goal.
Nice. What did I want to say? My French goal, I feel like, is very similar. Actually, I had something I wanted to say when you were talking, but I didn't say it. And I don't remember what it was. Okay. My French goal, I feel like, is very similar to your German goal, because I feel like my French, much like my Norwegian, have just fallen out of my pocket, and I've lost them in the street, and I don't know where they went. And because the reason I don't want to go to French coffee hour a lot of the time with you is because I feel so, like, weak with my French.
Mm-hmm.
And it's embarrassing because of, like, the amount of time I've spent with it, and, like, I did the Add One challenge, and I took a class for a year, and I've just studied it a bunch. And so, you know, I feel like I should be at a place where I'm not. And so it's very, like, it's very difficult for me to kind of see where I am and, like, acknowledge the amount of flaw I have or the amount of fault I'm at in my French level. But I think that's okay. I mean, I haven't finished Le Petit Ponce, so I want to do that. That's something for this year I can say is, like, a solid goal of mine, because I've gotten close to finishing that before, but haven't. Very much like Die Verwandlung, but I say it's much more understandable, comprehensible. Yeah, I mean, I think really all I want to do with my French is much like German, is I just need to get it in more use. I need to just, I also just haven't had a lot of motivation to be using it, and so I think finding something to motivate me to use it. Like, I should mention this, I've been watching a lot of live streamers on Twitch.tv, which is, like, a gameplay streaming site, if you don't know. And they have a feature which is when you go to a video game, you can filter it by what streams are in what language. And so I've been watching a lot of streams in German, and the other day I tried to watch one in French, and I had so much difficulty understanding.
Mm.
And so I realized, like, okay, that means work needs to be done, you know? And so I'm very conscious of the fact, But, like, even the whole Spanish and Italian thing we're doing is meant to improve my French by association. And we'll talk about that at some point. But I need to, even if it's just through, like, no, I feel like I do need more, like, active learning in my French. And so I think that'll have to be a lot of conversation. Because, like, once we get into French coffee hour and, like, get a vibe going, and I feel like I can talk, mm-hmm. you know? So even if it's just conversation with you or just, like, on Skype through iTalki or through the iTalki classroom, which is now out, I think. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like that's all I really need with my French is just use it more, learn more French, honestly.
Because
I think, isn't there a thing with French which is, like, in the beginning it seems really easy, but then you get more complicated? Whereas German's the opposite. In the beginning it's very complex and then it gets easier.
Yeah, and I'd read that at one point, and I think people remember there was, like, a whole period of time where in the podcast I'd say that German was the hardest language I'd learned.
And then it became French.
Then that was not the case. Well, then it became Bulgarian.
Oh, well, yeah.
But, I mean, even had I not learned Bulgarian, like, German definitely gets so much easier. Like,
Once you just, like, know certain things, they build on each other, you know?
Yeah, and also, like, the grammar just becomes, like, exceptionally easy almost after you, like, learn,
get
like,
it through
the
your head.
First... like few things, like it's like all pretty much the same, like everything just kind of like is like okay, do this and
but how do you feel about verbs being at the end sometimes?
No, that's the thing, once you learn it the first time it's fine.
Oh, okay.
I feel like it only when you first learn it you're like, oh man, that's weird, but then after like a month or so of studying that you're like, okay, that's just how this works. So I feel like it definitely gets much easier, like, which is part of why I feel pretty confident I can get past the whole intermediate thing. And I'm sorry we keep looking over the side. My axolotl tank is on the desk, and they're doing weird things.
They're silly.
So, yeah, I feel like I can pretty confidently get there. But going off of your thing, like what you were talking about with coffee hour and just, like, speaking and that sort of thing, a goal that I have is just get better at switching between languages. That's something I struggle with a lot. And so I find that even, like, French coffee hour, I have trouble speaking because... it takes me, like, a while to move from English into French. Like, I can do English to French pretty easily, comparatively to other languages, but the problem is, like, I'm still, like, a little laggier in the beginning, and just I'm not using, like, I guess as advanced phrases as I could be. It's more so, like, I can speak immediately in French, but they're pretty basic things. But then if I go from, like, German to, like, Bulgarian, like, I'm, like, in both for a while. Like, even if I have, like, an advanced knowledge of things, like, switching from French to German, I just, like, I get a little stuck and I, like, have to think more when I switch between them really quickly.
And my counter to this is I think it's just overall competency in the language in that certain field. Because I think you with French are, like, a much more literary person
mm-hmm.
than when you speak. Maybe even auditory, you're much better than speaking. Because I would say, me, I have so much trouble understanding people, and you've experienced this in France with me, when somebody asked me how old I am, and I said no.
Yeah, that was hilarious. She's like, how old are you? Matt's like, no. And I'm like, he's 18. I just, like, stepped in, I'm like, he's 18. She was like, okay, thanks.
But yeah, I would say it just has to do with, like, a competency in that, that, like, facility in your head that does speaking. I would say in... like, I would say, like, with most of your languages, and this isn't me trying to, like, be mean, I think it's just, like, critique. I think it's just, like, a lot of times speaking is a very scary thing, and we don't want to do it. And, like, this is me when I don't want to go to French coffee hours, because I'm afraid to speak to people, because I don't want to embarrass
myself. Well, I definitely agree, but at the same, and I think that that holds me back in some languages, but at the same time, like, I didn't have much of a problem when we were in France, like, speaking with people, because, like, we were around French. I feel like I have much more trouble switching between things.
Really?
Like, even with reading things, like, it's, like, the act of, like, going from one language to another is just something that, like, still I move a little bit slower when I first get started. And the thing is like, I don't ever really mix up languages. I keep them compartmentalized enough, but I just feel like going from one to the other, like, once my brain starts thinking in one, it's a little bit harder for me to move to another one and have the same momentum, I guess.
Yeah.
It's more so that, like, I can do it, but it's, like, I'm just a little bit slower. Like, it's almost like there is, like, a lag in my brain as I kind of move from one to the other.
I gotcha.
So, and I've already, with since Matt and I are currently studying Spanish and Italian at the same time, that's actually helped me immensely. Like, because the way I'm studying that too is I'll do a lesson of Spanish, then the same lesson of Italian. So, and then I keep going back and forth. So it's like constant switching. And I found that that started to help me because it's like forcing me to switch all the time. So I want to just bring that into other things. Like, even if I'm like maintaining my German, then I want to like maintain my French immediately after, just so that way I have to switch. Because I think that's just a problem I have. I like the parallel structure
in it a lot. Because then you have something to, like, because I think, the way I'm doing my notebook, and I can show this off, is I'm doing, one side is Spanish and the other is Italian. And so they line up pretty well. You might just have to flip a page to find the same thing. But, like, here you can see it's the exact same sentence basically right across from one another. And so that really helps me being able to see the similarities right away and then differentiate them based on just the slight differences, you know?
Well, even if I'm not at the same level with things, like, even if I go from, like, a German thing to Bulgarian, like, I just want to make sure that I'm switching often. Like, even if it's not, like, having them at the same place, like, I just want to, like, I think part of why I have so much trouble is because I don't have practice with it, honestly. Like, I think a lot of people who are, like, raised bilingual, it's like they go to school and then they come home and they speak a different language and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it's easier for them to switch back and forth, whereas for me, it's like when I'm using one language, I just, like, get into that language. So then when I need to switch languages, it kind of takes me a little while to be like, okay, now we're doing this instead. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think for me, it's just a lack of practice in switching. Like, I mean, I don't doubt that, like, some of my struggle I have is due to my competency in certain languages. Like, wanting to fill in other words in Bulgarian or just, like, not knowing what to say is definitely like because Norwegian. I don't know much.
That's like me in Norwegian. I just put German in and I'm like, all right, I'm sorry.
But, I mean, I don't think me going back to French from, like, speaking Bulgarian is because I know more Bulgarian than French, you know? Like, I feel like I've got enough French to communicate things. It's just, like, then I'm like, wait a minute, grammar is different. I'm, like, moving around. Like, we're speaking French now. Like, my accent will also just be a little off. When I switch from French to German and German to French, my R's kind of take up the other R.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
So it's just, like, little things. Like, my brain is just used to doing one thing. And so, like, even if I'm speaking, like, perfectly correct French, like, I'll have, like, a slight German accent or something. So it's, like, just little things where, like, my brain is just, like,
No, I got
so
you.
I just want to get, like, more practice at, like, being, like, we're doing this and now we're doing this. And be able to have both at the same level of ease. Even if I'm having a more basic conversation in one language, like, just being able to have that conversation.
Something I've been interested in a lot recently is Idalsa Ness, not necessarily his program, but his methodology of language learning. Because he even said something recently. He's like, I'm not interested in language learning. I'm just interested in, like, in talking to people, is what he said. And I was like, that's a really interesting, like, philosophy to have with language learning is, like, just do it for talking to people, not for the language. But, like, I just can't do that because I'm interested in languages. But because of his approach of using the IPA and of doing the exact sound and, like, mastering the sound before you move on and, like, doing the elementals of the language, which are, like, the elemental sounds, which is, it's just really interesting. I was doing a lot of research and I listened to a talk by him and just, it's very intriguing to see how far you can get and how, like, great an accent can be and, like, how distinguished the sounds are right away. Like, he was able to have somebody in the audience, like, say something to him and he was able to repeat it almost perfectly just because of his mastery of sound. And, like, and he's a musician, too, and so that helps.
Yeah.
But, like, what was I going to say? I just think, like I was even considering writing down the IPA of Spanish and Italian before going into all of this, so I could differentiate based on sound inventory or phoneme inventory. And, like, I'd still like to do that at some point, but maybe with a more, like, difficult language with a difficult sound inventory. But, like, something with German where, like, seeing where the ch and the ch is, you know, those aren't the right sounds, but whatever. Like the and the sure.
Yeah. Next one?
Should I
go on my next one?
Yeah.
Oh wait, that was my goal. Should I go on two? I feel like I have more goals than you do.
You probably do. I mean,
wait, maybe we don't. Sorry, we're trying to cross look.
Oh, I do have
yeah, maybe go with your goal next.
I kind of want to just like take another lesson from Damon and Joe and just discover the world through languages, you know? Because I feel like I really learned a lot while I was over in Paris and Germany this summer, and I think a lot of it was because we were on our own, essentially. And so I want to do that more, and I kind of want to take it into my own hands, and, like, whether that's even just traveling across the U.S. more, like, up into Canada, I just want to be moving around, learning things, and talking to people. Because, like, even just the conversations I have with random strangers here, like, I feel like say a lot, you know, and there are things like, I'm big into literature, but there are things you can't get out of books, and you just have to go out and live a little. And so I think traveling and using language to travel would be something that's really healthy for me.
Yeah, we've had that discussion a lot recently, too, just because you were, like, focusing so much
crises.
On... Matt, like, some people are probably new here, but Matt and I, like, really like language learning and stuff, but that's actually not what we plan on, like, doing as our career and stuff. Matt's, like, a creative writing student, and I'm a filmmaker. Mm-hmm. So, like, we were talking the other day about how, like, just watching films and just reading books, like, that gives you some of the, like, things that make great films and great books, but, like, you can't spend all your... Like, Matt spends a lot of time reading, like, the classics and, like, books that are known for, like, their writing, but I was talking about how, like, you can't just like, you can't just read and write, because if you just read and write, like, you won't be able to create meaningful characters and things, just because you, like, have to go out and live and then base,
there won't be,
like,
human
things that have happened to you and to others into your books, even if then you have that thing at the beginning that's like, this is based entirely on fiction. Any correlation to real people is entirely accidental, or whatever it is.
Oh my gosh.
When it really, it's like...
Ursula K. Le Guin has that in her books, and I'm like, you don't need
no,
this.
No, everyone
it's
has it.
It's all sci-fi and
everyone
stuff.
Has it.
I'm
if
like,
you
why?
Look, I think it's, like, necessary, because films have it at the during the credits, too.
Oh my gosh.
It's, like, just a thing
that's so
like...
silly. It's fiction. Oh my gosh.
I want to know why that occurs. Someone definitely, like, sued and was like, this is my life story in a book.
Probably. Oh my gosh.
But, yeah.
But even, like, something... When I was doing Latin and being able to read, like... Because I was doing it through Mango's course, and they, like, have you reading, like, Caesar's Gallic Wars. And so that was really cool, being able to just, like, read verses from it. And, like, although it's very, like, slow going through that course, that's something I was really big into, because you're, like, getting a primary source from history and learning it as you're learning the language. So it's just... It's like a... It's like you're hitting two birds with one stone, honestly. And so... Yeah,
cool. I agree with that, too. I didn't have that in my goals, but, I mean, I know in my, like, general goals, I want to, like, add traveling more into there. I don't know what I'm going to do exactly, but I'm thinking, like, adding, like, a certain number of new places I want to visit, just because there's, my sister got me one of those, like, scratch-off calendar things, and just, like, I did it, and I discovered there's so much, like, yeah, it's in that tube, there's so much just even in the United States that I haven't been to, and, like, you can't tell me that, like, a plane ride, like, to, like, 3 hours away from me, or, like, driving my car to, like, a state nearby, like, wouldn't, like, that doesn't cost that much. Like, I learned the other day I've been to Delaware. I had thought that I'd never been to Delaware, but I have. But, like, I guess I'd like to go again, and, like, that's one of those things where most people are like, ooh, a vacation to Delaware. But, like, I do want to visit, like, every state, and, like, I've never been, like, Delaware isn't too far away, like, a plane would probably be even absurd to pay for, because I could drive there so quickly. I think so. I haven't been to New Jersey, really.
Doesn't it take 20 minutes to drive
to Delaware?
I've
genuinely never been to New Jersey.
I've only been on our way back, which we were on.
Oh, yeah. We landed in New Jersey, but I've never been to New Jersey, like, actually just to, like, be there. Mm-hmm. So, like, I want to go to New Jersey. I live in Connecticut, like, and I'm in New York most of the time. Like, I could take, like, a 2-hour train ride to New Jersey and I'm there. Mm-hmm. So, like, I want to travel more, which doesn't entirely correlate to languages. Some of it might, but, like, going around the States doesn't necessarily. But I'd also like to join you in the discovering the world through just, like,
languages
and just, like, reading more things
just,
that are
it makes languages
to a
make
culture.
Languages make your interactions with people so much more real. Mm-hmm. Like, I just love the smile on their face, and just, like, the conversation you have with them. They're always like, you have a wonderful life. And it's like, thank you, you too. You know?
Yeah.
It just shows you care. And I do.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, I definitely want to, like, travel at some point to places across Latin America. Because, like, with Spanish and hopefully one day Portuguese, like, that's becoming open to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so... Like, just, that'd be amazing, because we have an entire continent here that speaks predominantly Spanish and other languages, and even, like, going to Quebec,
because
that's, oh, you've got an eyelash. There you go.
Yeah, my next one is Bulgarian. My dear friend, Bulgarian.
Bulgarski.
I think the most I've ever gotten my Bulgarian to is, like, an A1, but it just goes back to an A0, because I just haven't been spending enough time with it. So I'm at, like, an A0, A1 right now, and I just want to get it to an A2 by the end of the year. That's a simple goal because I struggle so much with Bulgarian that even just learning the basics, like, has taken me several passes around just to, like, know how to say extremely simple phrases, just because it's so hard for me. Mm-hmm. So I just want to get it to an A2. I think that's manageable, and I think once I get it to an A2, that's usually the level I find I can, like, stop learning languages for a little while, and I still remember things.
That's me with Norwegian.
So, like, I just like to get it to that point just because it's, like, I do keep, like, learning it and then forgetting it. And it hasn't been too bad because it's the thing is, like, the first time I learned Bulgarian, I learned the things, but they didn't stick that well. It was, like, very loose in my brain. And so then now, having taken a break and then coming back and studying the same things the second time around, things actually finally stuck with me. Mm-hmm. So, like, I still remember how to, like, do certain things. And, like, I'm starting to, like, remember those basic phrases that I know that are, like, A1 level. But I'd just like to get up to an A2, be able to have, like, slightly more advanced conversations, that sort of thing. Hopefully not forget it as much, but yeah.
Nice. Yeah, and then I think I'm the same with Norwegian, because I think I could definitely use another, like, run-through of grammar and just more advanced vocabulary and just kind of honestly just learning more, because I've been at the same level of Norwegian for a long time, like, ever since I first learned it, or even my second round go-through. And I definitely find that just because of the simplicity of Norwegian's grammar, like, it stayed with me, but understanding people speak and all that entails is a completely different story, because I feel like spoken Norwegian and written Norwegian are just so different, so vastly different, and just honestly, it is going to be a challenge for me to just understand Norwegian on, like, what is it, NKR, the radio, and just podcasts are always just so fast for me. And I think it just, again, comes down to just I don't have enough of a knowledge or enough practice. Because, I mean, even when I was, like, binging Ikvel med Ylvis, I could, like, understand a good part of it, but a lot of it was just like, oh, they've got subtitles. Mm. And so the prevalence of subtitles makes less work for you, sadly, as it should do the opposite. And, like, it did teach me a lot, but I fall back a lot of the times when subtitles are there, which is... What was it? I was watching a documentary series in German on Netflix, and I think I had to just either put German subtitles on so I wasn't translating, or just take subtitles away so I would be listening, because I wanted the listening practice. I think you were the one that told me that. I think you said, just do no subtitles so you're listening, like,
improves. Yeah, just because I'd found that, like, I feel like a lot of the times you fall back, since you've done so much, like, link and stuff, which is, like, reading and listening at the same time, I found that you then fall back on one of them when one of them gets tricky. Like, even, like, when I think I was reading something to you in French at some point, and you were like, can you show me the text?
Yeah, because,
like,
yeah.
You couldn't pick up just on, like, listening to things, or, like, what, also when we were in France, at some of the museums we went to and stuff, like, we'd just have the audio, and you had to, like, put on the closed captions or, like, subtitles, because, like, just listening, you were, like, but, like, if you had the reading thing to go off of as well.
Yeah, I think that's the whole thing.
Or also, like, there were times where you'd be reading the other way around, you'd be like, could you read this aloud to me? Like, you'd see a sign, and it, like, you'd have to, like, either read it aloud or have me read it aloud to you, so that way you'd be like, oh, okay, that's, like, what it is.
Yeah.
So I think, like, you've done them in conjunction so much that, like, you can't do them apart at this point.
Yeah, and I think that's something I want to just make prevalent for all my languages in 2018. I want to put a predominance, just a... The word I want isn't coming to me. I just want to put the importance on... The emphasis, there we go, on... listening.
Because I feel what, like, I said that one time when I didn't know emphasis, and I was like the personification of the bold font.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. No, yeah, I definitely just need to listen more. And I need to just increase my knowledge through listening. And I think that even comes from my kind of revelation through listening to Idalsa Ness, you know? I've previously pronounced his name as Idahosa, and it's Idalsa, I apologize. It's Idalsa.
So my next one is the one that I was talking about for this summer, planning to learn Haitian Creole. So March and April, I tentatively have that as my focus, just because I'll probably need it in, like, May, June time. So I've got that set in, and we'll see what happens. It could move around a little bit, but I want to get that from an A0. I've learned a few phrases in that, but it was a little while ago too. So I'd like to get that from essentially no knowledge, just a very basic knowledge, so A0, to an A1, A2. I don't have super, extreme goals with this. Like, I'm not super ambitious with my Haitian Creole, because the resources aren't super prominent. Like, there aren't not that many resources, and the ones that there are aren't super great. Mm-hmm. Matt got me some books for Christmas, and they're not the... You actually found some that seem okay, but there's definitely a difference between those and, a book like them for Spanish or something. There's even the best books for, Haitian Creole are, lacking. So, yeah, it's, one of those things, much like Bulgarian, where it's, the best resources are kind of, the lower tier for other languages.
Yeah, which sucks.
So, there aren't super great resources, and I don't feel like at the moment I want to get it to a super high level either. I just want to have a basic working knowledge of it. So who knows, maybe as the year goes on, like I said, maybe I'll be like, wait, actually I want to improve this and get to a really high level in my Haitian Creole. Mm-hmm. But for now, all I want is a basic understanding. So A1, A2. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's really attainable, and I'd strive for an A2 obviously with that. Especially because, like I said, I feel like I need to get it to an A2 in order to, remember everything. So I want to try to get it there, but just basically enough to get by in social situations is more so what I want.
Nice. Cool. And then I'm up to Spanish and Italian. I should maybe just mention, as for other languages, I mean, I'm kind of going with what I've been doing this year, which is really just dabbling and doing what I feel at the moment. Mm-hmm. Because I find that if I'm into a language, I'm going to stick with it, you know? Mm. And so I need a little bit of time to find out what that is. And really, I feel like in my heart, it's probably going to be Latin or Finnish that I come back to. If not, I definitely feel like Latin is up there, just for a scholarly thing. I just kind of am so intrigued in the past that Latin can kind of reveal to you.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think I'm also very interested in leaving the Indo-European family for a little while and going over to, say, Japanese, Mandarin. I feel like I'm not gonna hit... I was interested in Farsi for a little while. I don't know if that's on my radar right now, but I'm very much interested in, East Asian languages. I could see myself doing Japanese again, of course. I don't know what else at the moment, though, you know?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I'm very much into Spanish and Italian. That's my focus right now. And then these other... But I feel like it'll definitely become clear what language I'm doing in a future podcast, because I don't really have many new ones I'm focusing on,
mm-hmm.
other than Spanish and Italian, you know?
Do you think, I know that this is supposed to be goals, but I always like to play devil's advocate in the podcast, do you think that though some of you are just dabbling and then thinking you'll find the language you want to stick with, you know how people sort of go through the honeymoon phase with languages and then then you sort of have to push yourself to stay committed to things. Do you think that by just dabbling, maybe you just have the honeymoon phase and then you give up after you finish that and you'll never then end up sticking with anything because you don't hold yourself accountable past the point where you feel like you're really, into something?
Oh, man.
When this was supposed to be a happy podcast and then she asks that.
Maybe. No? Kind of?
I don't know, I was just intrigued.
Maybe? I don't want to do that, but I love dabbling so much that I think it's just but I also want to speak languages, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, Latin's, I think, a kind of thing that it's safe to dabble in because you can't really speak it with people. But I think with something like Finnish, where I'm just dabbling in it, well, I was just dabbling in it, that's something I still need to decide, am I really, committed to this? Because with Norwegian, I think it was very spur of the moment, but I was lucky enough to fall in love with it. You know, I was already intrigued with it before I came to it.
Yeah.
And then Spanish and Italian, I think I made that choice very quickly again, but I'm lucky because I'm enjoying it. And I think a lot of it is just, you know, I want to learn more languages and kind of just get further in more.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Do you think that you'll... do you think that you're gonna hit a point, I guess, with things where you decide that, instead of dabbling, you wanna like, stay more committed to something, I guess?
Totally.
And, like, are you hoping that that's going to, like, happen this year? Yeah. Or is it more so, like, a just dabbling year?
No, I totally think I don't want to dabble. I think I dabble because I want to find out where I want to go in deep into a language. I think I just need to discover, like, kind of test the waters everywhere.
Okay.
And then figure out, like, because I did it, I tested Hungarian, and then I was like, this isn't really for me right now. Mm. But then, like, because all of the grammar structures in Hungarian that are basically the exact same in Finnish.
Yeah.
Made sense to me in Finnish and didn't make sense in Hungarian.
Hmm.
Like, I do remember on the first day I was able to tell you, I'm like, oh, this is that case.
But do you feel like that was because you'd studied some Hungarian?
No.
No. Not at all.
Not at all. I wasn't able to identify any cases in words in Hungarian, other than, like, where ek was present. And that's not a case, that's just, it's in, like, every word. And I really enjoy Hungarian, and I want to go back to it one day, so maybe, like, having my little honeymoon with Finnish will make me like Hungarian more, because I am really just intrigued with Hungary, and familial reasons I'd like to learn it.
Yeah.
Do
you feel like you've got, like, a stopping point, though, with dabbling? Like, because, I mean, obviously, like, you could just dabble forever and be like, oh, well, like, I really like Finnish, but what if I also really like that? Like, there's so many languages out there that you could just dabble and try to find your favorite forever. Like, do you have, like, the cutoff point for yourself, or is it just, like, a...
I think once I realize I've either made no progress in my dabbling, or, like, oh, none of this is sticking with me, I need to actually study, or, like, wow, I'm not enjoying this as much as I thought I was, time to go find something else.
Yeah.
You know? I really think...
By the end of the year to have stuck with one of the things you're dabbling
in? Most definitely. I either want to, like... With Latin, I'd love to, like, read through an old book, you know? Like, one of our subscribers I follow on Goodreads, and, like, she reads so many books in, like, Spanish and Latin, like, older books.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's really inspiring to see, because I'm always like, man, I should be doing that with my languages, you know? And what was I going to say? I think I will most definitely find a new language. We know me, and I won't stick with what I've said here. I won't stick with this.
You're a little bit held to Spanish and Italian, though.
Well, I'm totally going to stick with those, but I mean, in terms of, like, reviving my Norwegian and, like, improving it, am I really going to stick with that? How much do I want that right now, you know? Is it kind of just on the back burner for a little bit? Like, I have
these
it here.
These are the questions to ask yourself.
These are the questions I'm asking myself right now. And, I mean, that's the reason I don't have specific goals here. It's kind of just, I want to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the goals I do have apply to everything.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what new languages I want to learn, and I think that's okay for a little bit, because I'd rather strengthen my languages.
Yeah.
And, because, you know, I feel really
weak in
them.
Yeah, this year's definitely a year of strengthening, I think, for me, too. Like, I almost didn't add any new languages, really.
Other than Haitian Creole, yeah.
Other than Haitian, just because, like... Even this past semester, I didn't even have a drive to really learn a new language
and
this past semester. I was like, I really just want to be better at what I know.
Yeah.
And, like, that was a good feeling, because usually I don't feel the motivation to, like, I usually, like, have so many other things I want to study. But I feel like at this point I've done so much dabbling. Like, I feel like I hit my point with dabbling, like I was asking you. Like, I feel like I hit my point where I've, like, sort of dabbled in most, like, probably, like, half the languages I plan on ever learning, and I mean, there's still some that I haven't dabbled in, but, like, I'm prepared to, like, wait for them, but, like, the things is, like, I've dabbled in so many things that I'm, like, I feel like and I've also just learned enough languages to a very basic level. I feel like when I first started out language learning, I was, like, but I've got so many things I want to learn, but, like, now that I've,
like,
studied, like, four languages, or, like, I mean, I've studied, like, four at this point. After studying, like, four languages, I was like, okay, I now know what learning a language is like. I've gotten to study so many, I want to, like, actually be able to use these languages.
Mm-hmm.
But, so there are, like, three new languages, really, four new languages almost on my list, but initially there wasn't going to be, but then Matt and I are now doing this challenge where we learn Spanish and Italian.
Mm-hmm.
So also for me, my goals for both of those is to go from A0 to
B2. B2, okay, yeah.
Which is, like... crazy.
That's huge,
especially because I do have four languages on my goals list this year that are A0 and upwards, but the thing is Bulgarian I've studied before. It's an A, I consider it an A0, but realistically I do have a knowledge of Bulgarian.
Mm-hmm.
And then Haitian Creole, I don't want to get to a super high level, so I don't see that taking up too much of my time. Yeah. And then Spanish and Italian, I feel like I can make progress pretty quickly because I do have a knowledge of Romance languages. Mm-hmm. I'm using them to go off of each other and learn things, and I'm committed to it. So that's kind of like my big thing for this year, is like going from A0 to B2 in those.
And I'm with you with that.
So those, and then the other language that might become a new language, so there might be 5 A0 and ups, but this would be the 4th, like, new language entirely, and that would be Japanese, just because...
Yeah, I know.
I didn't really get to put in what I wanted to it last year. I've wanted to learn Japanese for so long that I want to just finally learn that language. Like, it's been at the top of my list for years and years, even before I, like... knew about
learner.
Like language learning for fun and being a polyglot and stuff, like I wanted to learn Japanese. Mm-hmm. So like that's been something I've wanted to do, so I want to finally get to that. And also I definitely don't want to be learning all like languages from a specific region. I don't want to learn all Indo-European, but I don't even just want to learn all European languages, even if it's not an Indo-European language, if it's spoken in Europe. Like even like with like Finnish and Hungarian, like for me that would still, I'd still count it sort of as a European language, just because I want to, like you said with like discovering the world, like I don't want to just discover Europe.
Yeah, I know.
So the thing I'd like to add something that's not just, because I was starting to get like a very like different feel, like I had Bulgarian and then I was going to learn Japanese next, so I was moving around, but the way life just kind of worked out, like now I'm learning Spanish and Italian, and that's just adding a ton of like Europe, like romance, like strain on my like languages, whereas so
like,
definitely
like
my next language will be something that's not European after those, but I definitely love to do Japanese, and that's a perhaps kind of goal. There's no real goal there. I'd love to get to it if I have time, but that's one that's not like a set in stone goal. But if I do another language, I'm kind of holding myself to it being Japanese. If it changes, it's not going to be European, but
no, I'm with you.
So
you know?
That's where I'm at. And
like
then,
I know I'm big into Latin right now, but like I really want to. Japanese has also always been high on my list, and like even Mandarin's been on my radar. So like I want to get out.
Yeah, definitely Asian languages, like Mandarin and Korean are both also high on my list.
Yeah,
but Japanese has just been like prevalent for so long that's definitely the first of all of those I want to get to. I know some people say like if you want to learn all three, like a great order to go in is like
Korean, Japanese, Mandarin.
But I really the thing is we all know that I don't like to learn languages for it to advance other things. Like all the people that recommended I learn Russian before Bulgarian, like
Bulgarian's the original.
If alphabet. I just don't want to learn that one as much, like I'm not going to. Like I'd rather put in more effort and then have to learn the thing that I want to learn. So I'm gonna learn Japanese, and then it might make Korean extremely easy for me when I go back. But yeah, do you have many other goals? I still have a few. So
no,
I could
please
keep
go
going.
For yours.
All right. I want to get better at maintaining languages. I just feel like I don't do great at keeping up everything in my daily life. Like, even when I have a streak of, like, studying a ton of things, like, studying every day, it's
like
usually, like, different languages each day, even if I'm, like, maintaining things. So it's like, I'll maintain my French one day, German next.
Okay.
But, like, I feel like I have a hard time. I think it's also just I'm getting to the point where there's so many languages that it's like, I don't have time, but the thing is I don't use it enough in like things I'm doing in my life anyway. Like I feel like I still make it a chore, like do something in German instead of being like I watch a shameful number of hours of YouTube per day, likely
watch some German. That's
so
me.
Why
like,
don't I watch the things that I'd watch in English in another language is what I mean, like, because I feel like I have to be like I need to think of like things to do in German, like I need to set aside time to watch this TV show in German, whereas like why am I not doing things that I do anyway in those languages? So I've been trying to do that. I made myself like a watch later playlist on YouTube in each language.
Oh, that's so cool.
Because that's how I watch YouTube videos, is I just add things to my watch later and then I go back and watch them.
That's cool.
So I've made myself playlists that are like my watch later playlist for each one. So that way when I decide I want to do something, I've been trying to find things that are like my interests. So they're like really weird videos instead of just like things that are like meant for language learning too, like... I've, like, gone off of interest, so I found, like, an animal, like, YouTuber in French, who, like, is, like, look at my snake enclosure and things, and I'm, like, cool, like, never gonna use half these words, but it's, like, at least things that I'm, like, interested in, so I've been trying to do that sort of thing, so I want to get better at maintaining things, using things each day.
And like, that's kind of what I was talking about with like doing live streams, like watching live streams in the languages. Like I just find like I watch a lot of like gameplay videos mainly by the same people all the time, which like I'm a big fan of Rooster Teeth, and so I watch like their people all the time. But watching like live streamers in other languages, it's just a nice way to branch out and like watch what I'm doing all the time.
Yeah, that's the thing too, is we've mentioned before, like a lot of the things that I know even you watch too with like finding YouTubers in other languages, it's often like beauty YouTubers, and the thing is that's just common. Not what I watch typically. Like I'm now subscribed to a ton of beauty YouTubers, but like I don't watch that. Like in my own life, the like beauty channels I'm subscribed to in English too are people that mainly do like more lifestyle things and like their own not beauty related things, and then when they do like a makeup video, I don't watch it because I'm just not interested. So like being subscribed to people that like only do that really, and like I just don't have as much of an interest. And sometimes I watch them, like I need French practice, so I like watch someone like talk about their favorite makeup products, and it's like, great, I got my French practice, but like I don't have an interest in watching that, so it makes it a little bit harder for me to do it. So I need to just find things that I actually care about and just like be reading more. Like if I'm gonna read a book, why not read it in like French, like that sort of thing. So I just want to get better at that.
Nice.
Man, I feel like I'm just taken over now.
I'm sorry.
I want to always have a routine. As I've said, like, it's hard for me to, like, structure out my life, because also even, like, my day-to-day schedule changes. Like, never mind, like, semester changing, but, like, I've got different classes every day. Mm-hmm. I've got different things going on. So I can't have, like, a true routine that's, like, from 12 to 1, do this. But I made myself a winter break routine, and
how's that going?
It's gone half well. I think I need to, like, I think it's one of those things where I have to get used to it, so I need to push myself a little bit more, because, like, I'm getting most of it done, but then I'm, like, not pushing myself to do, like, everything, and the only way to get, like, doing everything every day easily is if I push myself at first.
Yeah.
So I just need to do that for a little bit, but it's going well. Other than that, I think I just haven't, like, given myself the push, because I've been, like, relaxing for Christmas and things.
Which totally makes sense.
So I think, like, especially with the new year, I'm going to be like, all right, time to, like, make sure you do all these things.
Nice.
But I want to change that often. Like, I don't want to have the same routine for the whole year. So basically, I've got my winter break routine right now. I want to make a semester routine for next semester, then, like, a summer routine. And even change that halfway through the summer if I have to. But just, like, always have a routine that involves me, like, studying and maintaining languages. And that's not necessarily a routine, like I said. It's more so, like, daily habits, more so. Like, I guess, like, language habits, like, right now. If I can find it.
While you're looking for that, I want to definitely consume a lot more of my, like, news media through other languages. Which, like, is tough because I don't know what, like, even in English, you don't know what, like, resources are good. But I definitely want to, like, do a lot more of that in foreign languages, you know?
Yeah, so my routine right now just involves, like, honestly, it could take, like, less than 2 hours probably every day.
This is cool.
And it's not necessarily something that has to be done during a specific 2 hours, so, like, it can be done completely throughout my day, and I'm planning to make a video on this if I actually stick to it.
That's cool.
And I think that might be my way of holding myself accountable, is do, like, a, like, my language routine kind of video every time I change it.
That's so
cool. So that way, like, I have to show you guys what I'm doing, so I have to have something that I'm doing.
Yeah.
So I just want to always have, like, a little, like, habit routine thing. I don't even really know what to call it. And change it frequently so that it always works with my life at the moment. But by doing that, I'll be able to not just, like, let my life get so hectic that I'm neglecting languages.
Yeah.
And if it means, like, for a little while my life is so hectic that I can only do, like, 5 minutes of a language a day, like, that's still, like, watch a 5-minute YouTube video. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's cool.
I want to do that. Polyglot Paris. I would like to start my book club, finally. I've mentioned this before, but I want to do, like, a language book-related book club, where it's, like, things like Fluent
Alex
3 Months
Rowling's
by... Yeah, like, Alex Rowling's books, Fluent 3 Months by Bennett Lewis, like, Fluent Forever, like, that kind of thing, where it's, like, books about language learning, or, like, linguistics-related books, or books about...
Do the language class.
Yeah, like, just kind of things in general like that. I wanted to do once a month, but I don't think that's really gonna work for my life, so I'm thinking maybe read, like, 6 books over the course of the year, like, every 2 months. I haven't decided yet, but hopefully there should be a video, like, in this next month with me announcing it.
We have a whole bunch of videos coming up, too.
But that's, like, my goal for me, so that way I can, like, keep myself, like, reading more about language, too, and just, like, learning about language and keeping language in my life. Because also I find that just, like, reading those sort of things, like, inspires me to learn more, I guess. Like, every time I've read a bit of Babel No More, I'm like, wow, like, these people speak, like, 20 languages, and they have so much fun speaking these 20 languages and, like, seeing how they use it in their everyday life and things. Like, these people that, like, have, like, just books in tons of other languages that they read and stuff like that, like, inspires me a lot. So, like, I think having, like, a book club where, like, we're all reading and talking about these things will then inspire me to keep up with my own projects.
Oh, totally.
And then two more, I guess one other Polyglot Progress things, is I want to do more, like, educational content. Yes. Like I said, like, teaching Esperanto. Mm. I've still only made one French grammar guide, even though I constantly say I want to add to that series. So I really need to do that. It's just those videos take me so long because it's so much, like, I can't do those on the fly because I want to make sure I explain it in the best way possible. Like, I have other people read over those first and be like, would you be able to understand how I'm teaching this? Like, is this the best way to go about this and all that sort of thing? And then I have to, like, add in the words and stuff. Like, it just takes much longer for me to do.
Yeah, it's a bigger production.
So I just haven't gotten to it, but I'd really like to do more of that. And just even, like, other types of educational thing, like linguistic stuff.
Yeah, I've been talking about that for a long stuff, time.
Like,
my German grammar.
Just even, like, I want to talk about, like, study techniques or, like, theories and in language learning and that sort of thing. Just because, like, I feel like there's a lot of things, too, that, like, polyglots, like, throw around. And if you've watched enough polyglot content, you, like, understand what things are. But, like, other people might say laddering, you don't know what that is.
Yeah.
So, like, having just a place people can go to, like, start to understand certain things. Like, I know when people do that for me for things, that it's, helps. Like, helpful for me. And, like, videos on YouTube explaining, like, certain grammar concepts and languages, I'm like, okay, this is helpful.
Like, I know I would appreciate something, like, what is, oh, what was I going to say? You know how you can have an accusative, a nominative, accusative language, and then there's the other one that's very similar, ergative, absolutive? Like, I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a video somewhere explaining it.
Yeah. So, like, I just like to do, like, things like that to help people. And, like, especially, like, I don't feel I'm at the level right now, but even as I start to learn things like basic Bulgarian things, just because there's so little Bulgarian content out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's just things like I look for things.
You want to contribute.
I want to put the things that I look for out there because I know that they're not currently out there. So I'd like to do more of that. Like, I love using Polyglot Progress as, like, a casual thing where, like, we're, like, realistic language learners, but there's also so many things that I wish I could see out in the world of language learning that aren't currently, so, like, I'd like to put them out in the world because I have that ability as a person.
Totally.
And then my final goal is I want to speak more and have more, like, text conversations in languages, because I think that's a good way to hold myself accountable to maintaining and improving languages, and it's also not passive, because it's so easy then with maintaining to be like, I watch TV and I read books.
Yeah.
And
then you can't say a thing.
And, or you can say a thing, but, like, I do want to be using it, and, like, I don't currently have that many, like, friends that I'm like, I met this friend through speaking French or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
me neither.
Whereas, like, I always think it's so cool when polyglots are like, I have friends all over the world, and I, like, don't feel like I'm at that point, and I think part of it's because I
just don't really
way
speak
too
out.
Awkward to be like, be my friend.
Yeah.
Like, even in English, so, like, that's another one of those things where it's like, as an English speaker, I don't do this, so it's even harder for me to do it in other languages.
Totally.
Plus, I'm just horrible at texting. I know there are actually a few people on here that have started conversations with me in other languages, and I just haven't responded after several months, and I apologize. That's not me being like, don't want to talk to this person. I just, like, I literally, my life gets so overwhelming, and then I just, like, never respond. So, I mean, if people want to start text conversations with me in any language, please feel free to ask me. Just know that there's the great possibility that you will not get a response for a long time, just because, like, my life gets hectic, and, like, I don't touch my phone for, like, several days. Like, that's, like, the first thing to go when I don't have time.
Yeah.
But I want to just practice speaking more and stuff. And
yeah, I want to become a more active language learner.
Yeah, definitely. Because I feel like that's the other thing, is, like, my speaking is always, like, one of my weakest skills, except for the languages where I've practiced speaking. And so it's, like, definitely, like, a sign for me, I feel like. Like, my German speaking was significantly better than other things because we would speak so often. Yeah. But we haven't been doing that recently either. So, like, even just, like, speaking with you, like, that's both of us maintaining things.
Yeah, no, like, that helps me so much.
So, like, I just want to practice speaking because, like, I should, like you said, like, learn about the world. Like, I could make so many friends around the world by speaking languages. So
yeah, totally.
I should do that. And it helps me maintain languages. And it also gives me, I feel like, a more sense of purpose to be learning things.
Totally.
Because it's, like...
Same.
You've got people to learn for and stuff. Mm-hmm. So.
No, I completely agree.
That's where I'm at for 2018. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Is that all?
Yeah, that's all mine. Anything
else you
want to mention? No.
Okay, cool. You will definitely be hearing more about our Spanish-Italian challenge in the near future. We have our first video coming out soon. I don't know when that's slated for. We will find out very quickly. Mm-hmm. And then we will let you guys know about that. We're very excited for that. That's a big production on our part.
Yeah. Sorry, we're going to talk a ton about that. It's so vague in this video, but it's like there's... We already ramble so much that we went into, like, here's a challenge, when you're also getting a video that explains it soon. So,
yeah.
So we're learning Spanish and Italian right now. That's all you need to...
Yeah. No, it's real neat. We're very excited to, like, release these videos. And, yeah. I don't know. That's pretty much it. We definitely have...
We also have an exciting thing coming in the new year.
We'll have to say what it is.
Then we'll have to do it.
It'd probably be good. Do you want to write it down? Make sure we're on the same page. What are you saying? Yeah, no, say it.
Okay, so basically, now we have to commit to this.
Were we planning on not committing to it?
I don't know. I felt like you were going to bail on me.
Oh, I wasn't planning on bailing.
Okay, so now that Matt's not going to bail, we're doing...
VEDF.
I don't know if it has a better name, but we're going to post a video every day in February.
Yes.
So.
VEDF. VEDF.
That's also a big New Year's resolution, is with Polyglot Progress posting more content.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, this is difficult because we're in school, but we're planning to just pre-film the heck out of everything.
Even if a lot of them are, like, shorter, lower quality, like, we just want to get
We want to get diaries out there. We want to have educational things. This will also give us the chance because we're always like, I want to do more diaries. And then we do those and we're like, but I want to do more educational things. But, like, posting more videos gives us a chance to do everything that we want to do. So, get excited for that if you like our videos. If you don't like our videos,
we're sorry. There's going to be a spam in your subscription box.
Then I am not sure why you're subscribed, but sorry.
And then we plan to, what is it, every...
Then we've got another schedule, but we'll talk about that.
We're going to talk about that later,
In a future video when we've got it more planned out as well.
Mm-hmm.
But until then, you can expect one video a week for January.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think we're posting on Mondays. I'm not sure.
Is it Mondays or Thursdays?
I think it's Mondays because that's why we're posting on the first.
Yeah. Oh,
so every Monday in January, catch us here. Then every day in February, catch us here.
We'll see how that goes. That's going to be exciting.
So, yeah, get ready. And if you have any resolutions you want to share with us, let us know.
Or even ideas for videos you'd like to see, because that will help us with what to make in February, because we're, like, going through comments and getting what everybody wants.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be very helpful for us. So definitely request some videos. And let us know what your goals for 2018 are. We'd love to hear those. And with that, remember,
practice makes progress.
All right. Bye, guys. Happy New Year.